And then methought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery. The morn was cold and chill as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. And once again the scene was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on it straight. The gates were open wide.
Thank God for his gifts that are without repentance. Let's open our Bible to 1 Thessalonians 2 as the kids go down through fourth grade. Thank you, Diana, and all those who are helping with Children's Church today. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is our text this morning. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 is our text. So good to see you all here in the Lord's house. It's a blessing to be with God's people. Amen. So nice to be around God's people. You all look so nice today. Bye, Eliza. You behave. Bye. She calls me Pastel. Bye. I do look a little Hispanic, don't I? Pastel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Notice the question that he asks. What is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Now, we all have a lot of hopes, a lot of things we're hoping for. For some people, they're hoping for the right thing at the wrong time. I think all of us are sometimes guilty of that, right? Which one of you fell in love and didn't want to get married right away, but you didn't have enough money, right? According to your father-in-law, you had to wait. We have hopes, we have dreams, we have goals. Some are hoping for $1 billion. Maybe they have the wrong hope. Maybe they have the wrong hope at the wrong time, or the right hope at the wrong time, or the right hope at the wrong time at the right place. Or maybe they have the right hope at the right time at the wrong place. But we all have hopes. We all have dreams. We all have aspirations. If I were to ask you, what is your greatest desire? What is your greatest desire? I really think that's what he's getting at here. Who do you love the most? Who makes you laugh the most? Who do you like being around the most? I saw something and I want to show it to you because you're my friend. I hope you see it someday. Romans chapter 8 says that hope is really something that hasn't been seen. For if a man sees it, how can he hope for it? And we're saved by hope. According to Paul, our greatest hope is Jesus Christ. But this is a different hope here as well. It includes Christ. But this is why people get depressed, isn't it? Because hope deferred, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12, hope deferred, it makes our hearts sick. But when we get what God gives us, then we're like a tree of life, the Bible says, because God's gifts never go away. But what is our hope? And here he's going to ask these questions. What is our hope? And he's going to ask this. What is our joy? And hope is the not the wishful thinking of the world, but according to Scripture, this Greek word elpis, it means that you know it's going to happen because God's promised. And God always keeps his promises, always. The resurrection gives us hope. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, had not Christ didn't rise, we wouldn't have any hope. We'd be of all men most sad, most miserable. Think about it. If Christ hadn't risen, our faith is vain, we're still in sin, but we're not in sin because Christ has risen and he represents us before God. Not because of what we do, but because of what he did, we're not in sin anymore. It's not a matter of just not sinning, it's a matter of being perfect, and we can't be perfect, can we? Apart from Christ, we can't be perfect. But Christ is risen and we are perfect in Christ. That'll give you something to shout about, won't it? Because you know, like me, you're spiritually bankrupt without Christ, right? That's what Robert E. Lee said. I'm just a poor sinner trusting in Christ alone for my salvation. But what is our hope? When Christ rose from the dead, it gave us so many different hopes. A hope that when he rose from the dead, that he would come back again. And that's what the angel said in Acts chapter 1. When they asked in verse 6 of Acts chapter 1, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? That's what the disciples said to Jesus. It was his 11th out of 17 appearances after the resurrection. The Bible records 17 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus Christ. 17 of them. And that was number 11. That was Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" You know, that's what they've always hoped in, wasn't it? They always wanted the kingdom. I mean, isn't that what we all want? We want a kingdom on earth. I mean, that's why we all vote, isn't it? And we forget that these people in Washington, D.C. are a bunch of sinners. You know, and we want a kingdom, don't we? We want a kingdom, but that's what Israel wanted. But Jesus Christ was the king, wasn't he? And he is the king. And so when Jesus didn't give them their kingdom, their hopes were dashed. They were sad. And so he was here for 40 days. After he rose from the dead, he appeared about 11 times. He appeared, and then he appeared six more times to Paul and to Stephen. He appeared to Paul a couple times, to Stephen, to John he appeared. In Revelation chapter 1, his eyes were as a flaming fire. But that last time before he ascended up on the Mount of Olives, they said, "Will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And what did he say? "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons." That's our problem, isn't it? It's our problem. We want to know when. We want to know how. But God doesn't always tell us those things. So we lose hope. When am I going to get a job? When is my health going to get better? You know, when am I going to have a good relationship with my grandchild or my child, right? When are my kids going to start respecting me? When's my wife going to start respecting me? God says it's not for you to know the times or the seasons. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and in the other most parts of the world. He says you just keep on doing the right thing, because only the Father knows when the Son's going to come back to earth and restore the kingdom, right? So what is our hope? We have lots of hopes. I'm glad that because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, we have the hope of eternal life, aren't you? Because he rose from the dead, when he appeared to those 12 disciples, he breathed on them and he said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." It was actually the same day. It was the first day of the week. It was the evening. They saw him at the tomb in John chapter 20. The first person that saw him was Mary Magdalene, the one that had seven demons. The first person he appeared to was a lady that had seven demons that got forgiveness for her sins. And some people are ashamed to talk about their sin, but you know, Paul did it. And he was used like Mary Magdalene was used. And then the disciples saw him, and then they ran and told everybody else, "Hey, the Lord's appeared," and they met there in the upper room, but Thomas wasn't there yet. Thomas said, "I'm not going to believe unless I see him." So 8 days later, Jesus Christ appeared again, didn't he? And he stuck his hand into Jesus' side. He said, "Reach hither your hand and see that it's the same Jesus that was crucified. It's the same person, for a spirit has not flesh and bones, as you see here." And Thomas reached his hand in there and he said, "My Lord and my God." Thomas didn't have a lot of hope because Thomas, it doesn't make sense, wouldn't see it unless he believed it. You guys believe there's nurses over at the Hoopston Hospital this morning? Well, how do you know? How do you know there's nurses over at the Hoopston Hospital? How do you know they're over there? Thomas said, "I don't believe it unless I see it." Now, we know that's stupid, isn't it, to say that? I mean, we believe the sun's out even though we can't see the sun. But Jesus is so patient, Jesus did show himself to Thomas. And he said, "My Lord," and he said, "My God." We have hope of forgiveness because Jesus Christ forgives sin. Had he not risen from the dead, he couldn't give us the Holy Spirit. We couldn't have any peace. We couldn't have any forgiveness, because you don't get your salvation from being a Baptist or being in a church, just like you're not a car because you stand in your driveway. You get forgiveness by Jesus Christ alone. Not from the Pope, not from any church, not from any preacher, not from your mommy or your daddy, not from reading the Bible. It comes from Jesus Christ through the Bible. Faith comes by hearing, but it comes through Jesus Christ. Had he not risen, we wouldn't have forgiveness for our sins. So we have hope, don't we? You know, had Christ not risen from the dead, he wouldn't be able to judge the world, would he? But Christ will judge the world. And every man shall give an account of himself before God. Why? Because he's risen. He's risen to return, to bring the kingdom, to give forgiveness, to judge both the saved and the unsaved dead. And had he not risen from the dead, we wouldn't have any rewards. We wouldn't have any purpose. But our purpose today is to serve God. Not to earn our way to heaven, but to receive rewards, to run. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. To receive a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, that righteous judge, shall give us all on that day. So what is our hope? Well, he says here that our hope is also you. That's interesting, isn't it? He says, what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ? I'm glad that God includes all the people that have died in that hope. All the people that have lost loved ones. When Mary Magdalene saw Jesus, the first person to see Jesus, she thought he was the gardener. And she was weeping, and he said, why are you weeping in John 20? Who are you seeking? She said, I'm seeking my Lord. They've crucified him. They've killed him. And Jesus said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni. It wasn't his face that she recognized, it was his voice, wasn't it? And you know you're going to recognize the voices of your loved ones in heaven? 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says that we shall receive that same body that Jesus had. Not exactly the same body, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. We're going to recognize the voice of our son, of our daughter, of our grandmother, of our grandpa. We're going to recognize them. Matthew chapter 17, Peter and John recognized Jesus and Elijah and Moses, and we're going to be recognizable. This is the glory that he's talking about here. What's our hope? What's our crown? What's our crown of rejoicing? It's a glory that he's going to share with us. He says, are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? So what is your hope this morning? Do you have this hope? Has there been a time in your life where you have repented of your sins and repented of loving things more than Jesus, or loving people more than Jesus, or loving yourself more than Jesus, and you truly repented of that and you've asked God to forgive you? Do you have this hope? Has Christ come into your heart and delivered you from Satan and from Satan's deception? You know, people talk about freedom, but really you're either the child of the God or you're the child of the devil, right? People talk about freedom, sometimes misunderstanding completely the fact that nobody really is completely free. That's Jesus' message in John 8. Either you're a child of God or you're a child of the devil. And there's got to be a time in your life where you receive his hope and understand that he loves you and he knows what's best for you. And you'd be foolish not to accept it. You'd be foolish not to accept it. I mean, think about it this way. He mentions hope and joy here. Joy is a positive emotion. A positive feeling, isn't it? But think of the opposite of these things. There's a place for people who reject the Holy Spirit of God. It's a place not of light, but a place of darkness. It's a place not of hope, but it's a place of pain and terror and fear and loneliness. Somebody told me yesterday, I'm going to tell everybody off when I get to hell. And I said, you're not going to tell anybody off because it's a place of darkness. You're not going to see them. Aren't you glad you're not going to hell? But you're going to heaven through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Hope and joy cannot be expressed or understood until we understand and believe Jesus Christ believed in a literal hell. And he preached more about that than he did about heaven because he didn't want anybody to go there. Jeremiah said, chapter 29, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, and plans to give you hope. God has plans for you. Are those plans your plans? You know, people say, Pastor, how come God didn't answer my prayer? And I said, well, because you didn't pray in Jesus' name. I mean, if you just say, God, give me $1 billion, why would he? He's the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. What does he have? What do you have right to steal it from him and use it for yourself? But when we pray in Jesus' name, you know what? When we pray for God's will, not ours, and we can include our desires in that. We can include, you know, a wife that can cook or whatever you want. Then God does hear our prayers, doesn't he? Because he does love us. But we have to pray in Jesus' name. We have to pray with the Spirit of God. I want to have what I need, but I want to use what I have to glorify you. And he always hears our prayers. And he has a plan for us, and he wants to give us a future. But people today have no hope because they try to change their gender, which is scientifically, chromosomally impossible. And then once they change their gender, then they have even less hope because they realize and recognize they have to take hormone pills for the rest of their life. And they still don't have the right identity because somebody lied to them, namely the devil. But Jesus doesn't ever lie to you. He says, I accept you completely, regardless of whether or not your mom or dad accepts you or whether or not anybody else accepts you, I accept you. You don't have to change your identity. You just have to change your allegiance to me. And I have a future for you. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks about you. I love you, and I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you, and I'll give you everything that you need. I'll give you hope. Today we're living in a world, folks, in a country where the public school system has forbidden people to speak in the name of Jesus Christ. You realize that? And what do people need to hear the most? They need to hear a message of hope, don't they? Kids, young people, young ladies, young men, young people need to hear the gospel because it's only the gospel that truly gives us hope. That's what they need the most. That's why I will never work in a public school. And if I do, I guarantee I'll preach the socks off. And last time I went over there to hear Bob Holmes, let me tell you something, folks. A little kid came up to me after Bob preached at the public school and was weeping and crying about his dad being a drunk and his dad beating him. And I said, you need Jesus Christ, and you need to understand that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, that he rose from the dead. Folks, you can't chase me out of a public school. I said, you need to get right with God. I gave him the gospel. I said, do you want to pray? And he says, yes, I do. And we prayed together in the gym. What are you going to do about it? Anybody? Put me in jail. Jesus Christ alone is going to save this country if anybody's going to be saved. That's it. And people have got to find hope in him because he's the only person that can give it. And when you keep people from hearing about Jesus Christ, you are a partaker of sin. When you keep people from hearing about Jesus Christ, you are a partaker of the devil's deeds. Nobody will shut me up. I will always talk about Jesus Christ. And nobody will keep me from talking about Jesus Christ. And I will die. I will die talking about Jesus Christ. I hope so. Because I don't want to live to be 95 in a nursing home. All right? Now, if Jesus wants me to live to be 95 in a nursing home, that's fine. But people need to have hope. There's no hope in this country. That's why they're turning to drugs. That's why they're all turning to alcohol. That's why they're all having sex before they get married. Because nobody's giving me hope. Nobody's giving me hope. What are we going to do? Paul said, I'm going to give them hope. I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. Look at verse 16. Look at the tactic of of those people that lived in Thessalonica that taught people to worship the gods of Mount Olympus. That's where they were. They were right on the heel of the outskirts of the Mount of Olympus. And Paul says they forbid us to speak. They try to tell us you can't talk about Jesus Christ. I'm always going to talk about Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to stop me. And that needs to be the message that you have. Do we need tactfulness? Yes. We don't need to be a bull in the china shop, do we? No, we need to be tactful. We need to be prayerful. We need to be respectful to people. But He's our hope. And He's our only hope. He's our joy. Jesus gives us joy. And when we don't have joy, it's because we're not forgiving somebody most of the time. That's why people don't have joy. Either they're not forgiving somebody or they're addicted to something. That's the message of the song of the message of Ecclesiastes. Here's a believer that lost his joy. Solomon lost his joy because Solomon was addicted to wine, women, and wealth. Or just to having a garden or something. You know, God doesn't want us to go around moping around sad. He wants us to have joy, doesn't He? And why do we lose our joy? Because either we're not forgiving somebody or we have an addiction, or here's another one that's very common. We're worried about something in our future. We don't need to worry about anything. God will take care of us. You know, I lost about $6,000 Saturday. But I'm not worried about it. God's got a lot more than that. Be joyous. God will always provide for you. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about who sinned against you. And if you got a problem with your brother, go to him, right? Now, if you got a problem with an unsaved person, it's not always wise to go to him. Because Jesus said they'll rend you like pigs. So I don't always go to people that hate me because I know they'll try to use it against me, right? But if I got a problem with a brother that's a true brother, that's somebody that I know is not going to try to destroy my family and run me out of Hoopston, I'll go to him. I'll try to make it right with him, right? And sometimes misunderstandings cause problems. We misunderstand what somebody says. We don't listen. We don't ask them. I'm thankful that Steve came to me the other day and misunderstood me. And he came to me the other day and he got it right. He clarified it. I asked him if he was going to sell any stock. And he said, "What, do you got a problem with my socks?" I said, "No." I said, "Are you going to sell stocks?" He said, "What's wrong with my socks?" I said, "I wasn't talking about your socks. I was talking about stocks." Well, if Steve wouldn't have come to me, Steve would have been thinking I was talking about it, his socks. Making fun of his socks, right? But Steve has a habit. If he thinks you're talking bad about him, he'll say, "Hey, what have I done wrong? You got a problem with my feet?" You know, no, brother, it was a simple misunderstanding, right? Now, what if every Christian practiced that? Wouldn't it be heaven on earth? Wouldn't that be wonderful? But what do most Christians do? Oh, they don't like the way I look. I don't like them either. You know, and they don't communicate, do they? They don't communicate, so they don't ever make things right, do they? So you got all these churches that are like five churches in one, right? Because people aren't following the Word of God. And then they lose their joy, don't they? Oh, well, that person don't like me, and I'm just going to be sad. They don't like them either. They've lost their joy. There's, I think, three main ways you can lose your joy. But the psalmist said in Psalm 16, in His presence is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there's pleasures forevermore. So when Elizabeth came, or when Mary came to visit Elizabeth, and John the Baptist was sitting there in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, he was just hanging out in the womb, wasn't he? John the Baptist was just chilling in the womb, wasn't he? About 98 degrees or whatever. Here comes Jesus through the front door. Jesus is he already has a follower because her belly's sticking out, right? Jesus already has a follower, Mary. Mary was the first follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? Because her belly was sticking out. So what did John do? John leaped in the womb, didn't he? Boy, that's joy, isn't it? Folks, you can't understand joy, can you? It's something God does, doesn't it? It's just a matter of being in the presence, amen? The presence of God. And what did David do when the ark came into Jerusalem? What did he do? He danced and he leaped for joy, didn't he? Nothing wrong with that, folks, if it's done for the Lord, right? Right? Because it's God who gives us joy. And John said, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. And that's what he's saying here. That Jesus is my joy, but you are too, because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And I love Christians. I love fellowship. I thank God every day for believers. Because you know what? I can relax around believers. I can never let my guard down when I'm around an unsaved person. You ever feel like that? You ever sit in the dentist's office or the doctor's office or whatever, and you feel like, you know, I can never be myself because I know if I really tell them what I believe that they're going to judge me, right? But we can have joy and we can have fellowship with each other because we have the same values. We have the same goals, amen? To glorify God, right? To live for God. We have the same view of morality, don't we? I mean, lying's wrong, amen? Doesn't matter if it's Trump or Obama or whoever, lying's wrong. Right? We have an allegiance to Jesus Christ so we can relax around each other. Sometimes we forget that we're in a spiritual warfare, and Jesus told Peter, he said, John and the rest of them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. In the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fell asleep except who? Jesus. And we do the same thing. We forget we're in a battle and that the devil's trying to destroy us, and he's a liar and a slanderer, and he's dirty and he's evil, and he's a discourager, isn't he? He's a discourager and he's a deceiver. And we forget that and we fall asleep. And then we start getting bitter because of somebody or because we're worried about the future or whatever. We haven't confessed our own. And then, before long, we lose our joy. And we lose our desire to come to church. And we lose our desire for being around other believers. And we say, what's happened to me? Well, I mean, what happened? Well, you know, you got your eyes off of Jesus, and just like I've done many times. Many times pastors done that. And I forget, this is a spiritual warfare I'm in. It's a battle, isn't it? We're not living on a playground. We're living on a battlefield. And we lost our joy, didn't we? Maybe we had some kind of addiction that we didn't. You know, the Bible says about an addiction. And I struggle the most probably with food. But he says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. In other words, you've got to have standards in your life. Like the rock badger, he lived up in the hills. He says he was a feeble little dude. He was a feeble little critter. He's not really a rat. What's those little gerbil things people have? He's not a rodent. Yeah, he's not a rodent. He looks like kind of like a rodent, but he's not. Yeah, he's not a hamster. He's just this little weak little dude, little weak guy, cute little fluffy guy. Tasty for the lions, tasty for the eagles. Oh, they'd love to sink their teeth into him. But he says he's made his holes in the dens, and he's made them on the sides of the hills, and he's got these little claws, and he climbs up there, and he goes in those little holes, and you know what? Even though he's weak, and he doesn't have any good teeth or claws to fight, he's fat little guy. They can't get him because he made his and he comes out and he looks around before he comes out. And that's what God says. You have got to have standards in your life. Young people, if you go on your phones, you had better make sure to have standards of sites that you don't go on. Because there are young people, not maybe in our church or a lot of them, maybe some of our older folks, today they're caught up in pornography. They're addicted. They're addicted. And they say, why am I not happy? Right? Or they're addicted to making money. They say, well, why am I not? I'm not. Well, you've been missing church because you're addicted to making money. That's why you miss so much church. Why am I not happy? Why have I lost my joy? You're holding a grudge against somebody, right? But in his presence is fullness of joy. And when do these things get magnified? When does the heat get turned up? When does the glory really, really shine? I mean, it's starting to shine now. But when Jesus comes back, we're going to have absolute perfect joy. Are not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? You know, we're going to be perfectly content in heaven. We're not perfectly content right now, are we? We should be, but sometimes we're not perfectly content. Right? Paul said, I've learned to be content, meaning I'm still learning. I've learned, but I'm still learning. But when we get to heaven, folks, it's going to be wonderful. We're going to see our loved ones again. We're going to be like Christ. We're going to be able to pass through walls. And we're going to have to be able to pass through walls to be able to go back and forth to heaven and to the New Jerusalem. And we're going to receive our crowns at the rapture of the church. We're going to receive crowns. Crown of righteousness, a crown of rejoicing, a pastor's crown for those pastors who have put up with discouragement so much, more than other people put up with discouragement. We're going to have a special crown. And we're going to get rewards in heaven. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And I am so ready and eager to be in heaven. And I'm to see the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. So what is our hope? Well, it's Jesus. It's all these things that Jesus does for us. It's his return. It's the fact that we're not going to have any sin left in our bodies or in our minds or in our hearts. It's the fact that we're going to be reunited with all of our loved ones again. And Jesus, when in John 21, he ate, and on the road to Emmaus, he ate, and he couldn't have got fat. Wouldn't that be great? You can eat as much as you want and not get fat. And when Neil Armstrong went up to the moon, he said, there's one other place I want to go. And many years later, they took him to Jerusalem, and he says, is this the steps that Jesus walked on? He said, yes, these are the steps Jesus walked on. He said, this is more exciting than walking on the moon. That's what he said. And then that fella, Alan Shepard from California, snuck a golf club up to the moon. Did you know that? He tied a 6-iron to a pooper scooper. And he took some golf balls and he put them in a sock. This is true. You think I'm kidding you? Go read it. They didn't want him taking a 6-iron up to the moon. But he duct taped it to a pooper scooper for rock dust. You know, you're just going to scoop it rock dust. And he got out there and he took that 6-iron and he threw those two golf balls down. And the first one he shanked into a crater. Because it was a space suit. You can't hit real good on, you know, I never tried it, but apparently it'd be hard. The second shot, they said, how far did you hit it, Alan? He said, you won't believe me if I told you. And you know what he said? Miles and miles. Miles and miles. So some nerd said, you know, it's true. If you hit a golf ball on the moon, it'll go 57 seconds before it hits the ground. That's miles and miles. It wouldn't be great. We'll get our new body. Jesus went up to heaven. He came down from heaven many times. We'll have friends. We'll have our loved ones there. No more pain. When Thomas reached his hand into Jesus' side, I think that would have hurt, don't you? But Jesus didn't flinch, did he? Why? Because the Bible says there's going to be no more pain. But everybody in hell is going to have pain, aren't they? Everybody in hell is not going to have any good fellowship, are they? No. They won't be able to eat in hell. There'll be darkness in hell. But in heaven, there'll be a light. There'll be love. There'll be joy. There'll be sweet peace and communion with all your loved ones. What is your hope? Shall we pray? What is your hope? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to ask you this question. What is your hope this morning? Is it Jesus Christ? Is that your hope, Jesus Christ? To see your loved ones again in Christ, that's a good hope. Paul was so sad about missing those that have died that he was friends with that got killed. But Paul knew he'd see them again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If there's someone here today that is not saved, there's someone here today that's never accepted Jesus Christ, God has wonderful plans for you. Trust Him. He died for you. Invite Him into your heart right now as I pray. You can pray this prayer and mean it. God will save you. He'll forgive you. Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross for me. I receive you. I repent of my sins, Lord. Come into my heart. I believe you rose from the dead. Will you pray that this morning? I believe you rose from the dead. Thank you for giving me hope. Thank you, God, for giving me a future. Thank you, God, for taking away my worry. Thank you, Jesus, that you forgive my sin. Now I'm going to speak to a believer today that's had a dirty week. Maybe you've had a rough week. Maybe you're angry at somebody. And you say, Lord, I've lost hope as a believer. I'm like Solomon. Lord, forgive me. Help me to hope in you, God. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Lord, help me to forgive that person. Help me to go to that person, if they're a believer, to go to them. Lord, give me my joy back. Give me my hope. Thank you, Lord, for what's important, which is your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, happy Easter, everybody. Thanks for coming.
All right, let's stand and turn our hymnals to, what was that, 347?
347.
Yeah, 347. Sing the first and last verse. Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live.